With the Lord's help, I desire to read the entire chapter. Mark chapter 7. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashen hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashen hands?" And he answered and said unto them, "Well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men.' For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do." And he said unto them, "Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor thy father and thy mother,' and 'Whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death.' But ye say, 'If a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban,' that is to say, a gift, 'by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free, and he suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye.' And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, 'Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man, that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear.' And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, 'Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats?' And he said, 'That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed, and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much more, a great deal, they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. I've read the entire chapter. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and may we all bow in prayer. When Jesus was on his trial before Pilate, he was questioned, but Pilate came with the answer, I find no fault in him. And that is truly who our Lord Jesus Christ is, flawless and perfect, never erring, always loving and true. And we who are God's children, we must see that. We must see Jesus Christ as that precious pearl, far beyond the value of all of our possessions and even all of the world. And like a rare diamond, flawless in all of his ways. But here is a story of Jesus' life where he encounters the Pharisees and the scribes that were coming from Jerusalem. And they were coming to inspect and see this teacher from Galilee, and they found fault. A man will find fault with Jesus if there is something else that he would like to put within his heart. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus is the perfect Son of God. He taught the truth. His word endures and has shaped mankind's history since his words were recorded. There's no denying these things. And he's good. And yet they find fault. They point out something, that the disciples were eating bread with hands that were not washed before they ate. And Mark writes for us to explain that the Pharisees and the Jews had this custom that they would do this practice to wash their hands often, and they wouldn't eat unless they would do that, this ritual, this practice. And that wasn't the only thing that they did. Jesus says here several times, many such like things ye do. Their lives, it seems that their lives were crowded out with many rituals and many reasons why they did not have room in their lives for the Lord, many excuses that they had. And so they question Jesus. They question the Son of God. They question the one who Moses prophesied of, that there would come a prophet like to him, and to him the people should listen. They should heed. And instead of heeding, instead of listening, instead of taking to heart the things that Jesus taught, like we heard on Sunday afternoon in the Sermon on the Mount, they come back questioning. Who is this? And why should I listen to him? And we know that the Pharisees and the scribes often, took the place of on the wrong side of these debates. And we would not like to be like them. We would say we would want to avoid that. But Jesus speaks so clearly against what they are doing, that when we read a passage like this, we cannot just simply brush it off as, oh, there's the Pharisees again. That's what they are doing. Of course, that's wrong. Because that's what they did. They looked at other people and brushed off everything that might be pointing to them and said, well, that's somebody else's problem, somebody else's fault, and never took the word to heart. So the question that comes up for me as I reflect upon these groups coming together is there a ritual or is there a practice that causes me to question Jesus' words? Something that I hold. The Pharisees probably didn't think that what they were doing was so odd or out of place because they had been taught it from their fathers. And they were teaching their children. It was a part of their culture. And so that was life as usual. But we see the ones who would become the disciples of Jesus Christ did not follow the pattern of life as usual. Their dedication to the Lord, their love for Him, their consuming attention and zeal and efforts for the kingdom of God. These things, the things that they spoke about their priorities and the way that they lived out their lives were consistent. And it was very different, very far departure from this Jewish culture. And so the Lord perhaps would have us to review and examine the values, the normal practices. Maybe we'd call them normal because they're so common. That aren't in line with Jesus' teachings. And maybe we don't walk up to Jesus or pray in questioning, but in the fruitfulness. Does the fruitfulness of my life show that I question whether Jesus is right or not? Because this could be me. This could be you. It's not the first time this had happened. Jesus knows exactly how to answer because the Lord was speaking to His people before about this very thing. And even as we had prayed, the pitfalls that mankind can fall into and the ways in which we draw back from God and His high calling towards our lives, they're not new. But even back in the time of Isaiah the prophet, the Lord was speaking to His people at that time, and it was very appropriate to apply to the time of Jesus as well. This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. There's something about the worship that is being expressed, but it's only with the tongue and with word, and not in deed and in truth, and not from the heart. Not from the core of one's being and from the new life that Jesus provides. And so, He says, in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Putting on a pedestal things that mankind and society counts as very valuable and worthwhile, and saying, this is how to live. That's a doctrine and commandment of men. And maybe in the time of Jesus and His earthly ministry, it was the washing of cups and the washing of tables and the giving of gifts rather than supporting parents. But what is it today? What is it for me and for you? A few months ago, we had a message that was very, very powerfully spoke to the challenges that believers have faced in the past regarding non-resistance and the bold stance that they had to take, because that was what they were challenged with. And the comment was made that perhaps today the challenge that we're faced with is the temptation to covetousness. And that one is a persistent pressure that does not let up. And so the prophecy continues, for laying aside the commandment of God. You can picture all of the things that you can have and hold and focus on and give your attention to and be working on. Those are the things that you have in your hands. When you're done with it, you put it on the side. And that's what they're doing with God's word. They're putting it on the shelf. They're leaving it alone. They've laying aside the commandment of God and hold the tradition of men, as washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. So easy it is for us to find fault with the Pharisees and say, oh, see how silly they are, washing their cups and their pots. But how silly would our lives look to early believers who are hazarding their lives to make the gospel of Jesus Christ known? How silly would the pursuits of modern day life be? How silly the use of time and investment of goods. Would that be to someone who was laying up treasure in heaven and willingly being poor so that others could be provided for? Jesus brings another example to them of how they were doing this and reminding them what Moses said. They thought that they were Moses' disciples. And Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. And whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But they had a practice that they could give a gift, and that those funds that could be used to provide for elderly parents, if they were given as a gift, perhaps to the temple, that they would not have to follow Moses' teaching, and really the teaching of God that says that a son should take care of his parents, should honor them in their old age. And so they made the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. It's a fascinating thought. The word of God. The word of God is what the Lord spoke when he created all of the worlds, when he created all the treasures that they were holding on to, all the cups and the pots and everything that they had. And nothing would hold back God's power as he created and spoke by his word. But by the stubbornness of man's heart, God's word is made of none effect. By our hearts, the word can have free course, or the word can be held back. The word can be shared and can be a blessing. The word can be lived and be active, or the word can be made of none effect through traditions that are not questioned, but rather traditions that question Jesus' words, that question Jesus' values and his teachings. And that was what Jesus wanted to tell the Pharisees. And then he calls all the people unto him. And he wants them to listen and understand. He says, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. He is speaking to the people and letting them know that the teaching of the Pharisees that prioritized these values of men and traditions of men, that there's no weight to them. There's no strength to them. That's not the truth. It's a lie. The truth is that the things that come out of the man are the things that defile him. So that frames things quite differently. We can imagine life as avoiding certain things that are outside of us and thinking of ourselves as pure and good and right. And that would be like the Pharisees in their life. But Jesus is talking about where these evil things come from. And it's not something outside. There's something wrong in us. There's something wrong in men. There's something broken and dirty and needing fixing and cleansing. There's something empty that's need of filling. The heart of men is lacking much. And that means you and me, without Jesus Christ, we're lacking much. Without Jesus Christ, we are lost. And so the picture is very different from me being good and avoiding bad things on the outside, but recognizing I'm unclean and need his cleansing, need his help. And Jesus wants to teach his disciples now about perceiving, about seeing things rightly. And he explains this truth, that from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts and adulteries and the very extensive list that Jesus gives. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So where does the work need to be done? The Lord needs to work with me. The Lord needs to change me. And only he can do that. A man can withhold himself from eating with dirty fingers until he washes them. But who can cleanse the heart of a man? Only the Lord. And that is what he came to do. To preach deliverance to captives, to setting at liberty them that are bruised, to speak of the cleansing, and to offer his life for our good. He has given his utmost. He has shed his precious blood. He calls us to be his disciples and to follow him, and not leave anything of ourselves unquestioned. Not to leave anything of our culture or the values of this world unquestioned, but to bring them before him, to submit them to him, and have him help us perceive what is valuable, what is right, and ask him for the guidance and wisdom that we need. May our hearts have a desire for the purity that is coming from above and that wisdom that is from above, and have our hearts right before God, which can be possible by coming before the Lord in humility and in faith and trusting in what he has done for us, and not finding our own righteousness or finding fault and reasons to excuse the words of our Savior. May the Lord bless his word. Amen.